Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone.
And this is a live show tonight. So for 12/19/2013, if you have questions that you'd like answered during the show, you can send them over to Squirrel. She's got her computer up. S-Q-U-I-R-R-E-L at WYOM.net.
That's right.
Okay. Tonight's show. I'm actually excited about doing this show. And believe me. and Squirrel, you're welcome to ask questions as I go through the information, because this whole thing took a real interesting turn. Tonight's show is Healing the Core Belief of Being Flawed. Being flawed is common to all humans. Feeling separate from our source creates an underlying feeling that we've been abandoned and therefore carry some indescribable flaw that creates a deep feeling of shame. How do we get to this feeling, and more importantly, how do we heal it? How do we lift the shame of rejection and abandonment? And of course, being wrong. Or flawed. That's so explicit. Okay. This feeling of being flawed can twist our reality and definitely interfere with our belief changing, because it's a foundational belief. It's in that base foundation of all beliefs. So you could be out there changing beliefs all the time, but if you underneath it have a belief that you are flawed, that's going to bleed through it. And you're not going to get the great benefit that you could without changing this belief. Tonight we're going to discuss and work with ways to understand, heal, and ask for assistance to lift the accompanying shame. It holds us back from our joy, our love, and self-love, big time. It twists our receiving and blocks us from stepping out into the world filled with joy and wonder. And tonight, the team is going to work with us to lift the shame around feeling flawed. They have a big job on their hands.
I know. Remember when they had the when they did the lifting of shame on the show?
Yes, that's actually in 2007. That's how old that is. I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So, Squirrel, you've got an astrology update for us.
Yes. Okay. Well, a lot's been moving, as I'm sure everybody knows. Okay, so this one comes from Elizabeth Peru, and she says, to the unaware, these must feel like crazy, chaotic, meaningless times. On one hand, there are shocks, revelations, surprises, and reversals, as Uranus moves direct, clashing with Mars, Jupiter, and Pluto. Seen from a higher perspective, looking at cycles over time, it's an awakening, the broken eggs stage of making an omelet. Working on a different frequency, Venus is stationing in Capricorn, not to move forward until January 31st, 2014, plunging you swiftly and silently into what feels like stasis limbo on your own personal underworld. The goddess reversal from 2813 degrees of Capricorn, which is almost at the end of it, will bring out all the old wounds, dysfunctional relationships, and those ghostly unconscious patterns imprinted at an earlier time. Your attention will turn to material values, to where in your life you are disappointed or have invested too much time and effort. This is not a lighthearted skip and hop through the Elysian fields, but the task of taking back shadow projections and accepting complete responsibility for all your relationships. These coming 40 days and nights will be a course in learning more and more about who you are and aren't. And it's a time to learn to wait, because an important piece of the jigsaw is still missing. All this is trying at best of times, but given the impatience, frustration, and challenge of the clashing grand cardinal cross as it builds a head of steam through to the new moon conjunct Pluto on January 1st, the search is on to find better ways through the interpersonal minefield. No more negative.
That's just perfect. Go ahead.
I know. All right, step cautiously. No more negative future projections, second-guessing, or resisting. See it as a rare time of heart-mind realignment, which will take you as long as it takes. So if you can, watch it all unfold and hold tight to the thought that soon you'll know what you don't know now, and that will change everything. Okay, and then tomorrow we have a Master Day, an 11, and it's the last of this year. And we have about 36 hours till the solstice, which is this Saturday. So it's our longest night, shortest day. And, of course, the solstice happens in the southern hemisphere. It's their first day of summer. So always 11 is a number of an awakening, serving humanity, and excelling to your best. And then onto the solstice, just to remind you, the longest night is a fruitful time for setting intentions to be birthed with a newborn sun. What you conceive now can grow with the sun and gain momentum in spring. You might start a tradition of setting winter solstice intentions. In 1 year, see how many have come into being. And then this comes from Len Wallach, who I've talked about before. He writes a lot with planet waves. Look for those whose consciousness is similarly illuminated, for those whose values you share, for those who aspire to evolve, initiating a new season of history in the process. Among those, you will find your earthly team, and with them, you will be able to manifest far beyond what you could make anew by yourself. What better gift could you receive?
Based on our earlier conversation, Squirrel, that's just perfect.
Oh, I know. Isn't it, though? I have to laugh at myself, but, you know, my earthly team, I'm trying to expand that, but it's not ready to go with me, so I go back to you, Jackie.
Okay. Well, that's
and all
too.
Of those you listening to us, I appreciate you more and more.
Okay. Well, for those of you who love the TV program The Big Bang Theory, you'll love this article. If you don't watch it, you're depriving yourself of some clever humor coupled with a lot of interesting factual physics. And my son sent me this the other morning. I had already read it. Is the universe a hologram? Physicists say it's possible. A team of physicists has provided some of the clearest evidence yet that our universe could be just one big projection. In 1997, the theoretical physicist Juan Maldacena proposed that an audacious model of the universe in which gravity arises from infinitesimally small, thin, vibrating strings could be reinterpreted in terms of well-established physics. The mathematically intricate world of strings, which exist in nine dimensions of space plus one of time, would be merely a hologram. The real action would play out in a simpler, flatter cosmos where there is no gravity. Maldacena's idea thrilled physicists because it offered a way to put the popular but still unproven theory of strings on solid footing, and because it solved apparent inconsistencies between quantum physics and Einstein's theory of gravity. It provided physicists with a mathematical Rosetta Stone, a duality that allowed them to translate back and forth between the two languages, and solve problems in one model that seemed intractable in the other, and vice versa. But although the validity of Maldacena's ideas has pretty much been taken for granted ever since, a rigorous proof has been elusive. In two papers posted on AR capital XIV repository, Yoshifima Hayayutaki of Ibaraki University in Japan and his colleagues now provide, if not actual proof, at least compelling evidence that Maldacena's conjecture is true. I didn't put the whole article in here because for many of you who've read The Holographic Universe. What's interesting is science is finally catching up with the wonderful metaphysicians who've come forward with these astounding facts. And finally, they're getting validated to some degree. So it's very exciting. The reason I was so fascinated by this article is because they had to go with two different theories and the inconsistencies between quantum physics and Einstein's theory of gravity, where if you solved it in one, you couldn't translate it into the other. This is something Lazarus has always talked about, and Bashar both. It's not this or that, it's this that. And that's true in the reality that we create in our physical world, which is all projection out of our mind, which appears to be real. And it would then make sense that our universe, in fact, is the same. On the one hand, it's real. On the other hand, it's all projection. Now, that gets a little goofy when you start looking at the media and all the stories about extraterrestrials. That doesn't preclude it from being both. And it's a paradox. And that's what we have to always remember, that everything is a paradox. And we're working with it from two separate perspectives. We're not consciously aware of it because it's moving too fast with the creation of time for us to be able to integrate it and utilize enough of our brain at this point to understand it.
So, Jack, you have to ask, the hologram exists in all dimensions or mostly where we live in the third dimension?
According to the paper, it exists in 10 dimensions.
Okay.
This is what I find fascinating, more and more. And when John Mack first died, he and Adrian DeVere took me out, and they were showing me, and of course I was convinced I'd remember all this. They were showing me how it worked.
To let you remember it, right? Remember?
No, of course not. You know I don't ask.
No.
I was so excited at the experience, that's all I could do. And it was this bubble, and the universe was just a bubble, and you could pop in and out of it, and on and on and on. And there were a series of bubble upon bubble upon bubble, and you could travel from universe to universe. It was not a big deal, but it's a bubble of biology. And, you know, again, I don't remember all of it, but I'm certain over time it's all going to drop in exactly when I need it, I'm hoping. Okay, so tonight's show, and there's so much going on with this. While I was in Hawaii, darling Bonnie Lonsbury, who wrote the book The Map, we roomed together, we were at a Lazarus conference, announced to me that she knew what my core foundational belief was, and she said, "You're flawed," and I went, "Really?" And, I mean, it literally kind of went through me, and I'm going to borrow this term from Dr. John Mack, like sulfuric acid. It just kind of went, as it went through me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is why I've chosen flawed men, and why I've done this, and why I've done that. And, of course, that's my core foundational belief. It makes perfect sense, and all the foster homes, and the rejections, and being locked in a room, and on and on and on. I mean, I was just all over that. And it was just processing so rapidly. And I said, boy, when I get home, I'm going to get right to work on that. Now, Bonnie is not one to ever let any grass grow under her feet, just so you know. So not only was I dealing with the same thing that everybody comes in with, part of the game of Earth, is that you experience yourself as separate from your source. There are only a few planets where this happens. Anywhere else, we'll stick just with this universe, although it's the multiverse as well, you don't experience yourself as separate from your source. You know you are part of your source. You are inside of God. You are a cell in the body of God, presuming that God had a body. And basically, God became nothing, so it could become everything. You are a part of God. On Earth, you don't feel that way. You step down, energetically to a much lower frequency than you're used to, feeling totally abandoned and separate. Your first contact, of course, is unfortunately in a hospital in most cases, but with mom and dad. There's the imprint, the blueprint for all projection and reflection right there. That becomes your god and goddess. So, my little brain has been on super, 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 super overdrive since I came back from Lazarus. And, of course, it was on overdrive while I was at Lazarus. So, I actually felt like the Heisman Trophy winner. It was like I was looking at all the plays I've run and all the touchdowns, and here's my trophy. And it felt like a gift. Okay, here is my foundational core belief. This is the one that, with all the beliefs I've changed, was getting in the way. And so, and you have to understand also, Bonnie and I, we spend a lot of time together in Hawaii. We talk several times a week in our normal life. And who best to tell me what my core foundational limiting belief is than Bonnie? Plus, she wrote the book. So, now when I got home, though, I felt like something was missing. This felt so big that I knew that I could sit down and write the belief. And as she said to me, now you really have to write this one. How is your life going to be different if you change this belief? How it's going to change here and change there? There was still a piece missing. And I didn't know what that was. The next day, I get an email, and we had talked about Enneagram while being in Hawaii. She sends me, take this Enneagram test. Here's the link. And I started laughing, and I thought, she's so good. So, as always, when something very big is up, it's going to show up with other people who are having sessions. And the team did a really wonderful session with someone whose foundational core belief is also being flawed. And it was showing up in their world around money, success, love, all the core places. And the team, thank heaven, made some great notes. They weren't lengthy, but they drew a diagram, etc. And they took that idea of feeling flawed and undeserving, a key factor here. Not only do you feel flawed, but feeling flawed, you feel undeserving. And how that rolls over into victim and martyr. Because nothing ever works, not the way that you would dream it to work. So no one really wants to think of themselves as a victim or a martyr, but we're programmed to believe that there is nobility in suffering. That's one of the big problems on Earth. Mm-hmm. Thank you, religion and a lot of other things. Then the team went on to say, it then rolls into the toughest belief there is to change, which is that nothing ever works for me. That's a game changer, a game breaker. When you believe, and it's your core foundational belief, that nothing ever works for me, nothing will. And I started running into that the first year I was doing work with the team. I was beside myself, plus I got too emotionally involved with people who had come in with major illnesses, and before my eyes, literally before my eyes, I could see the team working on them, and literally them rejecting it out. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? And that's when the team came in and said, core belief, nothing ever works for me. They could not receive the healing. I went, oh, man. Okay. So this person that we were dealing with, he was working on with his child, his adolescent, his young adult, changing beliefs like crazy, doing every other thing that he could think of. during the session, this thing around being flawed came in, and just being on Earth, it can come in. Feeling separate from indescribable closeness you've known but can't describe. You get it every day as a child with no's and don'ts and bad girl, bad boy. Or it can be implied by emotionally distant or raging parents. Or divorcing parents. We all know children blame themselves for their parental divorces. Especially the younger ones. It's locked right in. Mine was more personal and related to love and sacrifice. And of course the underlying shame, and shame can only be lifted. So I thought, geez, I've done so much work on this, but I got very clear there was a hell of a lot more to do. And I knew Bonnie was right. I absolutely knew Bonnie was right. She was so right. It was scary. I'm like, oh man. So I'm going to give you some background on the Enneagram work. It has something that Lazarus has done workshops on. I was never attracted to it. I'm always too busy, story of my life. Or I didn't have time, whichever came first. And so again, as soon as we returned home, she sent me the link to the Enneagram test to find my personality drive. And a few days later, a book arrived called The Wisdom of the Enneagram. A complete guide to psychological and spiritual growth for the 9 personality types by Don Richard Russo and Russ Hudson. And if you need, you know, the notes from the show for this information, you're welcome to email either Squirrel or myself. I dutifully took the test this week, just, you know, in between all kinds of other healing I'm going through. So. And I asked, you know, you only have so much time, but I asked my close friend and my daughter, who knows me very well and is incredibly psychic, as I'm going through all of these questions, and you pay to take the test, it's like $10, 40 minutes, assessing yourself is not always easy. We've all been going through dramatic change, but we all know there are places that we're stuck in our lives. And everybody's working on how to get unstuck. Everybody. What fascinated me, and I have to tell you, I just need a few days to totally immerse myself in all of this, because just going through the book even slightly, and Bonnie had said, you're at this with this wing and so on and so forth, and she, you know, so far she's right. I understood, just reading part of it, why I wasn't in relationship. I absolutely did not want to be controlled, and that is my unconscious drive. It's my personality drive. It's the one I've developed, and therefore, I could attract men in like crazy. I just couldn't keep them here, which made me laugh. And I thought, oh my God, of course. Unless they were horribly flawed, which I don't want to do again. But as I read my son and my daughter, it was easy for me to pick them out. They're my children. I'm like, oh my God. All of a sudden I understood how to deal with them in ways I'd never seen before. What their personality drives were. And of course it goes in... I have to tell you, this is something you can go so deep or you can totally immerse yourself. This is an opportunity to work with your soul's purpose and take it to a higher level. And by doing that, your belief changing will accelerate. Excuse me, dramatically. Dramatically. Because once you understand it, and I'll just give you, these are some people I really respect. again, the book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, Rizzo and Hudson are the two authors. Harville Hendricks, who wrote Getting the Love You Want, I highly recommend this book not only to anyone on the path of personal transformation, but to anyone who wants to understand the complex inner world of others, whether a spouse, family member, co-worker, or friend. The questionnaires were fun and illuminating. I received some very helpful information about myself. Felt challenged to grow and experienced a deepening of compassion. Perhaps the most profound contribution of the wisdom of the Enneagram is reflected in the word wisdom. The authors clearly communicate the complexity of human nature, the spiritual yearning resonant in all of us, and the ascending levels of our possibility. But they don't leave us there. They offer a clear path for personal and spiritual evolution. The other one, these are only two of them, Stanislav Grof. I've often talked about holotropic breathing and so on, which he developed, and he wrote The Adventure of Self-Discovery. He was a great friend of Dr. Joan Max. The wisdom of the Enneagram is not only a clear and comprehensive description and discussion of this ancient personality typology, but also a major and original contribution to its use and further development. Don Rizzo and Russ Hudson have designed simple practical guidelines and tests that make it possible to determine one's own personality type and use this knowledge for healing and psycho-spiritual transformation. Brilliant. It's brilliant. And I can tell you, the minute you start it, you're going to start shifting immediately. It's just running through me like nothing I've ever done. So this wealth of information for me struck my heart and soul, and a way to understand how we cope with feelings and personality drives, it all fits together. It was like seeing a completed painting on a canvas when the artist had just put the first brush stroke. That's how it showed to me. Obviously, the team is playing in this as well, because they must be tired of watching me and saying, is she ever going to get it?
They're rooting for you. You know that.
Yeah, they do root for me. Thank you. Thank you, squirrel. They do. I'm sure they're tired of the turnstile. You know, I've entertained enough men.
Yeah, but not wanting to be controlled, I think, is a very normal thing.
Mine's an extreme.
Okay.
It's part of my personality drive. And it's so strong because of my childhood and so on and so forth, which helped develop my personality drive, okay? And there are different degrees of it, too, squirrel. You know, when you take the test, you're going to get, you know, this drive is the strongest, and then you've got usually two others that are right there. Okay. So, to take the test, you go to www.enneagraminstitute.com. There are four tests on the site, okay? The long ones, they're two 40-minute tests, and each one is $10. They're well worth it. The first 40-minute test is the one I took. I haven't taken the second one because I've got a pretty good grasp on where I'm going right now. But it also showed me that my daughter and I are the same personality drive on the one, that's not our wings, but our primary. And so what's interesting is I've always gotten along very well with my son. And my second strongest was the same as what he is, which I had no clue. So I understand him very, very easily. My daughter, because she and I are such strong personalities, neither one of us wants to be controlled. And I'm the mother, so she's going to rebel against me just for the hell of it. Okay. She wants to do it her way and always has. Um, So how does all of this fit in with feeling flawed? It fits in more than anyone can imagine. Your ability to identify what beliefs you may hold becomes so much clearer, and why you hold them, and how you run your personality and your drives. When you're able to sit down with all that information and also change your beliefs, and Bonnie's book is brilliant. But for some of you, you have very strong personality drives that are getting in the way. Some of you may have not necessarily as strong. Yes, Squirrel, I am talking to you.
All right, Jackie. I'm picking up on that. Maybe you already know what type I am after taking the test.
No, I don't. I don't.
All right.
Now, in the Lazarus material, there are two... there's no tapes on feeling flawed or being flawed, okay? The Ending Shame series, however, there are four different tapes on ending shame, makes many references to it and how it came about and so on. And the meditations for the lifting of shame on these are brilliant, and you can download or stream them right off the website. There's also a recording that was done in, I believe, March of 07, called The Lifting of Shame on the BBS radio. There were actually five shows on shame. The Lifting of Shame was the last one, and that one is done all in channeled by the team. We've rerun it a number of times. There are also, on Lazarus' material, if you, under the search, if you type in Enneagram, okay, there are two, one is a, I think it's a weekend, and the other one is excerpts. They're pricey. One is $75, I think the other one is $200. But I would recommend, if you're going to commit that kind of money to it, that you really get into it first so you have a good feeling for what your own personality drives are, and you've read about them, and you've done some research before you commit that kind of money. I mean, this is a lot of personal work. And I know those of you that work with us, a lot of you are so damn driven that you will immerse yourself, because you know right now what's not working in your life. You know all the places that things are just soaring, and you know what's not working. So you're ready to take that next step. You're determined. Okay, this is not to say that other people aren't, but depending on the level of work that you're doing and where you're doing it, for some of you, whether it's relationship, health, financial, career, fulfilling your soul's purpose, all of these things are really important to you. So I can only say to you again, Lazarus has always said the EnneagramInstitute.com, the Rizzo material and Hudson is the best. I trust Lazarus as always. And I bless your journeys, all of you, because I think it's the most exciting thing. And again, it dovetails back into changing beliefs, getting more of your core beliefs as you understand your personality drive. It's much easier to identify core beliefs or foundational beliefs. Because once, you know, looking at yourself and reviewing, oh, that's why I do that. Oh, that's why I do that. And Squirrel and I had a little conversation about this before the show tonight. So we don't have enough time to go into everything, and certainly I'm going to immerse myself because I'm very committed. And my dear Bonnie, I send you my love and my gratitude for caring enough to make certain that I did it. She knew she sent me the damn book, and the length that I would have no choice.
You have no choice. Right, right.
But, and that's not really true because she doesn't do that with people, but she knows I'm ready. And so this is a big gift for me. I'm
and it's
always
a big
so
gift
busy
for
with...
all of us, really. So thank you for sharing that. I mean, really, it is a wonderful gift.
Well, and I'm excited for everybody to explore it. I can't believe it took me so long to get to it. And I've had people trying to guess what I was forever. So I know a lot of Lazarus people. You'd think I would have listened. I didn't.
I find more peace when I can learn, find out more about myself. And obviously, it's reflected in our outer world.
Oh, totally.
But, right? So when things don't go well, I kind of go, all right, so what is it that I'm not getting? And, you know, what's the miscommunication? And this is going to be helpful to many of us who deal with that, because I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Oh, no, squirrel, it's everybody. And that's why it is so valuable. And why Lazarus devoted so much time. There are other tapes that aren't available anymore on the Enneagram, but I wish you well, all of you, with this, and I'm going to go into channel here. And
okay, Jackie.
And squirrel, you need to watch the time for me, honey.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
All right, welcome everyone. Welcome, squirrel. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
We start with laughing at our channel. All right. We love to see her excited about something because we know, especially when she shares it on the air, that she's really going to do it and really work with it and really get into it. And it's time, all right? And we would highly recommend this for all of you, all of you. Anytime you devote to this is helping assist you to create the life of your dream. And not only to understand yourself, but to understand people that you are compatible with and why you're compatible with them. Understand their needs, what their drives are. And how much more elegant that can make your relationships. Truly. And then to know how to move forward, to take the drives that you do have, and then take them to a more elegant level. And there's lots of guidance offered on all of this. Lots of guidance. And each one of you will come to understand more clearly why you took on a lot of the things that you did in order to help formulate, if you will, the drives that you're running in this lifetime and understanding how you can, as we said, take them to a higher level. All right, to express them more elegantly, more beautifully, more in alignment with your soul. Instead of alignment with struggle and deprivation. And that is the great gift. That is the wonder. Understanding you, loving you, taking care of you, nurturing you. Something that many of you have not learned well. A lot of you out there taking care of others. But please understand, the more loving you are to yourself, the more you bring that for everyone. That's what you all came to do here on Earth. To model that love. And to anchor that love. So we recommend that you don't do a lot of self-criticism with this process, but go into it with awe and wonder. excitement and determination. Now I'm going to roll up my sleeves and figure out who I am. And again, it will make your belief changing much more powerful to understand why you're running some of the programs that you're running that aren't working in your life. Not because you're flawed. Right? We want to emphasize this. We're trying to heal those things, not create more of them. Very exciting. We're excited for all of you because you're ready. You're all ready. Now, Squirrel, you have some questions, we think.
I do. I'm going to start with this one question was from last week, but I'm going to start, and it's from the same person. They're from Yolanda, and I'm going to start with this one because it's about the show. And her question is, dear team, how can I know if I'm having feelings of shame, of rejection, and abandonment? Because I can feel my life changing to the point that I just feel joy, excitement, and happiness. How can I know if I'm having feelings of being flawed or if I'm having any foundational beliefs that are interfering with my belief changing? I have been working really hard on changing my beliefs, and I can see the difference in my life. It is more pleasant and joyful, more at peace and full of love and happiness. But yes, sometimes fear tries to creep in, but I just shift my energy, thoughts and feelings around, and everything gets better. Is that what is called feeling flawed? Can you please clarify this to me?
No.
My love and gratitude.
All right.
Yolanda.
No, dear Yolanda, that's not feeling flawed. Feeling flawed is feeling like you aren't enough, that you don't deserve. Now, if you're feeling martyred or victimized, all right, you may want to look at that as, am I feeling flawed? This again, here we go again. Sure, they're taking advantage of me again. And yes, that's victim and martyr. But Yolanda, look at your life, dear. What is it you're wanting to create? On all the beliefs that you've changed, are you seeing them manifest in positive ways? Are you seeing glitches? Are you still struggling? And if you are, where are you struggling? Look at that piece. Maybe, just maybe, there's a belief around not deserving. And you know what to do with that one. Lazarus has a wonderful tape on I Deserve. And belief changing around that. Now, with your background, beliefs around deserving to be happy, again, deservability. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to have it all. I come from a family where there's been a lot of struggle. Or I'm not enough. I'm flawed. Okay? My sisters aren't flawed because they do this and that, but I'm flawed because I can't. That would be the way of knowing. Okay? If you're still having those feelings, that there is a belief in there somewhere about feeling flawed. Especially if you run comparisons. Very important. Very important to look at it from that perspective. Now, actively changing beliefs when things come up. Flowing energy to your new beliefs, very important as well. And the reason we bring that up, Yolanda, it's not about just changing your mind. It's about being certain but you're actively flowing energy. And you're doing whatever it is that you do. You all have the process, especially you. You've been through the webinar with Bonnie, and certainly you've studied the book backwards and forwards, worked on beliefs and changed a number of them, tremendous number of beliefs. Feeling flawed at some deep level, feeling a sense of shame that I'm not enough, that God or God, Goddess, all that is, doesn't love me. Everybody else gets to have but me. Those are feelings of flawed. That life isn't fair. I don't, you know, why do I have to struggle? Why do others have it easier? Those kinds of things. Where's your focus? Where's your attention? Are you celebrating all that you do have and treating it all like it's absolutely wonderful? Your issues are more around financial struggle. All right? Never having quite enough. Why not? If you know that you deserve, you've worked with the energy, especially with that tape, I deserve. Money's a frequency. The universe signs your paychecks. Even though you may think it's the employer, the government, or whoever, it's really the universe. They become a vessel. And that's all. All right, Squirrel, you have another one for Yolanda. We love you, dear one. Thank you for sending in your question.
Yes, well, this dovetails on what you were just talking about. Let's see, I'm going to edit this a little. I feel really happy and excited and full of love, but at times fear creeps in for a second, but right away I try to shift my energy and stay happy and feeling abundant, prosperous, and delighted. I have been able to manifest abundance more and more each day, which makes me feel full of happiness, excitement, and empowered, which makes me feel lots of gratitude. What can I do when that fear tries to sneak in my life again? Because I do not want to go back to feeling small and powerless.
Okay, again, we're going to go back to the answer to the last question, which is to be proactive. To work with your intentions every day around finances, around manifestation, abundance, ease and elegance. Everything I need and more comes towards me. It's easy for me to create abundance. Now, these are beliefs. Not it's a struggle. It's easy for me to create abundance. It just shows up at the door. I have new customers and people wanting to buy things, and it's all so wonderful and so abundant. Really get in there and start dialoguing with what you want to experience. And change any and every belief to the contrary. As long, Yolanda, as you are proactive, it keeps your resonance up and you feel connected. And for you, that's a very big issue, is to feel connected. The more connected you feel, the safer you feel. That's the reason you write questions every week. It helps you to feel connected. I'm getting attention, direct attention from the team. They know that what I want. All right. But don't question your own ability to do that. Work with your higher self. Work with your guides. Your own unseen friend. your child, your adolescent, your young adult. Get them all in there working together. Ask your higher self to help you to create more elegantly, with more ease, with a greater sense of trust. Work on trust, always. Not blind trust. Trust that you're connected. And trust that everyone's working with you, that they love you for your highest good and outcome. If something isn't working, all it is a wink that says, look over here, Yolanda. Clean this up. Spend more time on this. All right? Don't miss that. It's not a punishment. It's a wink. There's a big difference. And as long as you remember that, you won't be afraid to look at everything. And sometimes you have a fear when you're working with everything that you're either not heard or not loved enough. And there's a fear of feeling separate and not supported. And you've been doing a wonderful job. We want you to know that. This is true for all of you. You're at a very powerful time right now, everyone.
And I'm going to have to interrupt. We're going to have to say goodnight soon.
All right. Then let us very quickly talk to all of you. We would ask that all of you call us in tonight when you listen to this recording and allow us to work with you around shame and feeling flawed, and allow this next week of Christmas to show you how loved you are, and to spotlight for you anywhere that you need to do some additional work. We always invite you to listen to the lifting of shame. We will always be there when you play that recording. Know that we love you all so very much. Squirrel, we love you.
We love you too.
At BBS Radio as well. We wish you all a beautiful holiday. Celebrate this from the level of your soul this time. And choose to be happy with your families and friends and wherever you may be. You will remember this Christmas, because 2014 is going to be a very important year for all of you. Our unconditional love, dear ones, to all of you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Okay, are we on or off?
We're still here, Jackie.
Okay, good night, everybody. We love you. I'm not sure about Thursday's show, but we'll let you know. And the announcement will come out. If it's going to be live, it'll be on there that it's live. Love you all. Have a beautiful Christmas. Thank you so much for all your time with us. And re-sign up. There was a bug on the whatever. It doesn't matter. So if people have had problems signing up, you sign up now. It'll go right in. It's working perfectly.
Oh, great.
Thank you all.
All right, happy solstice, Merry Christmas, everyone. Good night.
Good night.